I think they like you, Steve.
It's Tuesday, Lisa. Taco Tuesday.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hi. Whoa, what a day. What a beautiful day. Let's go outside and play. This office is cool.
You told everybody yesterday to call in sick, so they can't do a two-day. You can't do a two-day dissolution.
Can't I just go outside?
Yeah.
Work downtown?
I guess you could. Maybe you could say I'm working remotely from the sidewalk.
What do surgeons do on a day they want to go outside? Do you think they roll the patients outside and just do it on the sidewalk?
I think sometimes when you call in 2 days in a row, it makes you seem more legit sick.
Yeah.
Than if you just check the one.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. You planning that?
That is what I'm planning.
Is that what you're planning?
Yeah.
You've already made the miss. You're already here. That's the
and if anyone was following, I like to have my sick days on Thursdays and Fridays.
Right. Well, it does make more sense. It's more of a balance to it. It
gives you an extra couple of days to recover from your illness.
Exactly.
Right.
Sure.
Remember earlier this year, Steve, when you took the show outside on Michigan Avenue?
Yeah, that went really well.
Yeah.
Willy well.
With your stacks of cash.
Yeah, Willie Wilson and I were outside. Did you see what the governor said about that, by the way? What
did he say?
He said it was kind of skeevy.
Yeah, good. Congratulations. Very leader-like.
Such a terrible quote.
And they answered our question. Our question at the end of the broadcast yesterday was this against the law? And the state came out and said it is indeed not against campaign law.
Yeah, it's against all sensibilities
skeevy.
And common sense.
Right.
How was your day?
My day? Yeah. Excellent.
Good.
I got to play some golf in Michigan. So.
At a fancy course.
Yeah.
One of them fancy courses. She went to one of them fancy places.
Point of Woods on Sunday and the Dunes Club on Monday. Very lucky. It was amazing. And it even rained, and we stayed out there.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
You had to. I did a smart thing. And Dave, how did it go yesterday without me?
Actually, we missed you. We missed you.
A little rough out there? Struggles?
Yeah, it was...
This is the four autistic kids outing that Apt Electronics puts on every year.
Right, at Twin Orchard Country Club. We had a great day out there, but our foursome was a threesome, and we really could have used you to pound the ball and make shots.
And curse. I'm good at cursing.
Knock down and curse a little bit, knocking some putts.
Yeah.
And Saturday, I was playing golf at the beautiful White Eagle Golf Club out in Naperville and decided that even though the ball I needed to play was really close to a tree, I thought, you know, I'm professional. I can hit a hook around this tree. And my club slammed into the tree, and I got a stinger. It's basically like, have you ever played baseball or softball in the winter when it's cold?
Yeah, who are
you foul one off, and your entire body...
I don't
want to
make a big deal about it, but I am a softball champion.
Yeah, it's true. Forgot
so,
about that.
Yes, I know that feeling.
So I had a three-day stinger, and it feels pretty good today.
It's better?
I'm going to go out and hit another tree.
That's how you test it.
Pretty much. Why not? On this show today, Kid of the Week coming up. Is this a good Kid of the Week? You excited about this?
Yeah,
kid?
She is. Very good.
Okay. The MVPP, which is your most valuable person on the planet. John McDonough, the boss of the Chicago Blackhawks, has finally come to his senses. He's going to offer me a contract with the team. I'm a below-average skater and 57 years old, but I think my time has come.
Are you going to be the backup goalie?
I'm
like
going to be
the tax guy.
I'm
going to
be the guy that drives the backup goalie.
He's going to join the beautiful women who clean the ice every 6 or 7 minutes in their skirts.
The ice girls. The ice girls.
The ice girls.
And now,
and Steve
the
Cochran.
Ice girls and Steve.
Steve.
There's a couple ice
I'd look hot in that outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
The Scott Foster goaltender guy.
That's what
guy.
I'm saying. The,
yeah.
the tax
you
one.
You know, the guy came across from Johnny's Ice House and led the Blackhawks to a victory.
That guy made the ESPYs.
Yeah.
Did you see the montage? Yeah, he made the ESPYs. Anyway, McDonough later on the Blackhawks conventions this weekend. Dean is back today, and we'll check in with Orion Samuelson later amongst the other festivities.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
with the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
President Trump's threatened to take the security clearances away of former officials who have criticized his refusal to confront Russia over its election interference. In other words, if you don't like me, you can't play. The problem with this is that guys like Michael Hayden and James Clapper are some of the brightest security minds with 50 years of experience. And taking away security clearance means you can't call on them for their expertise when you need them. So instead of having a temper tantrum, we would hope the president would grow up and do his job. But I've been hoping that for a year and a half now.
The one that was that I thought was strangest was didn't he mention Andrew McCabe as well? And McCabe's already had it revoked because
as has Comey
technically been fired. So it's just that automatically, if you're wondering if this is just about politics, when you have situations where you call people out and they already have had their security clearance revoked, it's about politics.
Yep, without a doubt. Next, Justice Department broke up a multinational telephone fraud operation that cost 15,000 victims in America hundreds of millions of dollars. The scam was active from 2012 to 2016. Callers would pose as IRS or immigration officials and then get money and route it through call centers in India back to the ringleaders here in eight U.S. states. We still get those calls.
I know. And even though I know we're not, that's all we talk about on the show is they're not real. Mm-hmm. Every time I get one, I think, oh, what if I've got something that's not right? They're good.
If you listen
to the warrant for your arrest,
IRS for taxes that I've paid.
But if you listen to the whole message, the grammar is terrible. Yeah. The sentence structure is terrible. Words are off. So well, clear.
By that admission, you would think that a bot is tweeting for the president.
By the way, I set up my voicemail that when people call and they leave a message, it says, hey, you've reached the IRS.
Well, that seems to cut to the chase. Yeah, good for you. It's a real time saver.
I've made about $2 million.
I get so many of these spam calls every day, I just don't answer the phone anymore.
Yeah.
If you want me, text me, and otherwise, just forget it.
Look at our little Steve has turned into a millennial.
As someone who produces segments, you'll give your cell phone, especially over the weekends. This happened with the surfers yesterday. We were booking those guys to come through, and he called me on Sunday, but he called from from a 708 number or something that didn't look like, it just looked like spam. And I didn't answer it. He didn't leave a message. Then he called again saying, hey, I don't know if you got my call before. And I was like, oh, you weren't the IRS?
When you're reluctant to take any calls,
it messes up your
business
job.
Let's see. Governor Bruce Rauner signed into law yesterday a measure that should help this fall with voting. And by the way, I'm about to start my nagging, the Make America Vote Again nagging. We got to get more hats. Let's get thousands and thousands of hats.
Okay.
To Make America Vote Again. Yeah, it's funny. I don't even know who did the hats, but I told him, I'm going to need a large hat for my large head. And it
Rags
turns
of
out,
Honor did the hats.
Oh, that's right. It was Rags. And they did almost all giant melon hats.
So all the listeners are getting giant hats.
So we'll get regular size human being hats.
Didn't I write a song for that?
For the hats?
No, for the vote, Get America to Vote Again.
Lava? I think you did. Yeah.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah,
Another one, though, man. Just keep writing hits.
Yeah, we have a contest with John's songwriting coming up. So anyway, Governor Rauner said before a bill signing yesterday that the problem-plagued Election Commission of DuPage County is turning over its duties to County Clerk Paul Hines' office specifically, and it's a bill that, according to the governor, takes another step to help alleviate the tax burden on local homeowners and property taxpayers, and also avoid the debacle in the March primary that delayed ballot counting for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. There's no reason DuPage County, with all the money in DuPage County, there's no reason DuPage County having trouble counting votes.
They messed that up. But I wonder, though, this push to take the pressure off taxpayers by reducing government and townships and municipalities, the one area that I feel to be somewhat of a head-scratcher is to take away the Election Commission. I know that that's something they wanted to do, and they got it done. But if there is voting fraud or voting irregularities or voting trouble, it seems like you would want more of that kind of regulation, not less.
I think on paper, I don't disagree with you, but I think the idea is if there's a problem now, you immediately take the step beyond the Election Commission and handle it out of office and go straight to court, where we can clog that system up instead.
Yeah, true.
Next, Cook County Department of Public Health made public Monday a confirmed case of measles in Chicago, warned people who visited a downtown restaurant in a northeast suburban grocery store the same day. The affected patient was in both places it might have exposed folks to the disease. It was a Panera Bread in Old Town at 400 West Division and Joe Lasco in Mount Prospect on Euclid, East Euclid. On July 13th and 14th.
God, talk about bad press for these places. They didn't do anything wrong. Like, the Jewel is just the Jewel, yeah, and someone has measles and they roll through there. Yeah. I think we got to give the address.
Yeah.
Well, plus, I think you got to give the route they took. Because if you walk down the street to the Panera, you know, like...
Yeah, right.
The measles don't just live in the restaurant.
Do you shut down all of... Orleans?
Yeah. I don't know. If you were going to live in a restaurant, Panera would be a good one to live in.
Mm. Yeah. You can get all meals there.
That measles special, is that working out for them? I don't think so.
Measles sandwich?
And
Northwest Highway has got to be shut down for 2 weeks.
Next! History is made. WWE is going to have its first ever all-women's pay-per-view event set to take place on October 28th. And if you like watching women wrestle, this is for you. Joe, don't you? Joe Romano's back from his weekend in Cleveland. Are you a wrestling guy?
Yes. Yeah.
Is this a good thing? Pay per view women's wrestling.
I think it's a good thing.
Do we know any of these wrestlers?
I think they're bringing back some old school ones, some new school ones, maybe debuting a few.
Well, Laverne and Shirley. There's that reality show, Total Divas, on E! That's been around for like 3 or 4 years. Yeah,
and Glow is on popular. Netflix. Is women's wrestling. Back in the 80s, the Glow League. So that's bringing back some popularity.
Do you know a famous female wrestler, Jim?
Yeah.
Off the top of your head, name-wise, I mean?
The Bella Twins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Bellas are probably the most popular.
How do you know that?
I know the reality show. On E.
But are they wrestlers?
They're wrestlers, yeah. It's the WWE wrestlers have a reality show on E. It's the behind the scenes, stuff.
Stacy.
Oh, that's right. She was going to get married to, what's his name?
Nikki Bella.
Mary knows the Bella.
John Cena.
Yeah.
I think it's on again.
By the way, Joe's just back from a wedding, so today's text question is awkward. Awkward weddings. Things that happened at a wedding, it was awkward. Awkward weddings. Not that Joe's attended wedding was awkward, but everybody's got a wedding story where they went, whoo, that was awkward. 312-981-7200 is the number. Texters all morning long, your awkward wedding stories. And finally, this. Activists are going to shut down Lakeshore Drive on an anti-violence march to Wrigley Field. Is it anti-violence night at Wrigley?
Yeah.
Last night was anti-offense night. 4 o'clock on August 2nd, groups include a coalition for New Chicago and violence interrupters that plan to march on Lakeshore Drive near Belmont and then go to Wrigley Field. The Reverend Gregory Livingston said it's one of the organizers that's going to happen. The Cubs have a home game scheduled for 7:05, so that should screw up everybody's evening.
I think we're trying to get him on.
The Reverend
Livingston, yeah.
Yeah, look, I get it. You want as much publicity as possible, and you want some action taken. That's totally appropriate. I just never believe that shutting down highways and traffic is a way to get it done.
Well, I think of when they do the Gay Pride Parade and a Cubs home game at the same time in Wrigleyville on a Sunday, which blows my mind how many people are in the same area. They're still able to do both events. So the only thing I would caution for the Reverend is there may be less of a splash, as you think, going to a home game at Wrigley Field than a protest.
Yeah, they do know how to handle
traffic.
That's
just what you expect over there. If you're going to do it downtown or a place where you don't expect there to be congestion or in some place, you might have more impact than going in front of a cut, because everyone's just going to go, yay, together, and then they're going to walk into the club.
I can tell you right now, the best way to get attention for your cause, and whether it's anti-violence, which is maybe the most important, or anything else, is fix traffic. Don't cause traffic to be worse. Figure out a way to fix traffic. Make traffic flow better. That's how you're going to get yourself some attention.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
640, you know about a kid that you want us to know about? You know what to do. WGNradio.com/Kid of the Week or search Kid of the Week at WGNradio.com. You'll get there, and you can let us know on Twitter, at Cochran Show, Facebook, Steve Cochran Show. But tell us about a great kid doing a great thing, like Jane, who joins us now. Good morning, Jane. Hello, Jane. Stand by. There you are, Jane. Sorry, Jane, when we had two commercials on at the same time, I turned all the switches off. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
There you are. Jane, are you 12?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for being on the show, and congratulations on being named Kid of the Week, and thanks for being a great kid.
Thank you.
You going to be an 8th grader this fall?
No, I'm going to be a 7th grader.
What school?
St. Catherine.
And what do you want to do when you get out of school and out of college and move on with your life? What are you going to be then?
Pediatric oncologist.
Mm. Wow. And we should say your Kid of the Week honor is in part because of your fundraising to fight childhood cancer. Where does the direct interest come from?
Well, when my mom asked me in third grade, I knew that a lot of my friends who are boys were doing it, and I just thought that it would be really fun. She only thought I was going to cut off my ponytail, though, but I think I surprised her a little bit.
You brave the shave year after year, which means you shave your head for kids that are dealing with the horrific effects of cancer. And what do? They take your hair, they make wigs? Is that the deal?
I don't think that they can take all of our hair because most of us don't really have long enough hair. But if you cut off your ponytail, they do take your hair, I think.
Well, it's a nice thing to do, and you've raised a lot of money, and here you are only 12. What's the goal this year? What was the goal this year?
The goal was $7,000, but I raised $8,065,000.
Yeah, that's
what we got. All right, all you other 12-year-olds that raised $8,500, stand up right now. Right? Good for you for doing this, and I hope it makes you feel good, because the people at St. Baldrick's and everybody else involved with this form of fundraising, I mean, it's a big deal every year.
Yes, it is.
Say hi to Justin.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question for you. You to be able to raise that kind of money, you have to be pretty good at marketing, Jane, right? I mean, you have to to figure out how to sell your message. How did you do that? How did the marketing plan come about?
Well, last year we made stress balls out of Orbeez and like balloons, me and my sister, and we made them and we sold them for $5. And this year we make glitter jars that just like relieve your stress or something, and we sold them for $5 too.
What's a glitter jar? I don't know what that is.
Come on, Steve.
It's just like a jar with like glitter and water and glue in it, and you just like shake it around, and it's kind of fun to see.
Oh, it's like a snow globe.
It's a glitter jar.
Yeah.
Have you thought about making slime and selling that, since slime is all the rage?
Well, I'm not allowed to make slime anymore.
That's it. We don't allow slime made in
ever
our
since
house
the charges
either.
Were filed.
I like she said anymore. There must have been a slime incident.
There must have
at
been
Jane's
a slime
house.
Incident. You want to tell us about the slime incident at your house?
Yeah, well, it's happened a lot of times. I just, like, me and my cousins, we've spilled it on the ground.
Spilled it, yeah. When you get slime
on
the carpet.
Curtains.
Yeah. Oh, the curtains.
Yeah.
Does it stay?
Yeah, in the curtains.
Yeah, most parents you talk to don't allow slime made in their house any longer.
But what if you're doing it for a good cause?
Yeah, if you're doing it for St. Baldrick's, maybe your mom will lighten those.
Your mom's listening now going, Mary, don't tell her that.
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
You want to say hi to a teacher or a friend this morning?
I could say hi to my teacher, Miss Sharon.
Miss Sharon, what does she teach?
Math.
Glitter jars.
And how to do glitter jars, yeah. Are you good at math?
No.
That's nice when you like the teacher that isn't your best subject.
Yeah, and I like your honesty. That's great.
Hey, Jane, are you doing anything else besides raising money for St. Baldrick's with any of your free time?
Yeah, like
yes,
fun stuff.
I act in plays and I sing all the time.
What type of stuff do you sing?
Everything. Hamilton.
Hamilton. Yeah, that's a good song.
You want to hear me do the entire Hamilton soundtrack, or are you good?
Yeah, totally. You could do it.
All right. Well, hold on. We'll do it off the air.
Okay.
John?
Yes, I know that a famous alum from St. Cadgetan is Chicago comedian Pat McGann.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, he does those videos there with the kids.
I shaved my head for his son.
Yeah, yes, that's nice.
Elliot, yes.
Yeah, little Elliot, by the way, is doing great.
Phenomenal.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
God bless him. Hey, Jane, you're a good kid. We like you. And we don't like everybody, but we like you.
Thank you.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
The sister who's making
three sisters.
The glitter jar team.
The part you already told me, which clearly I didn't hear. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
And I forgot, how old is she? Younger, older?
She's older than me.
Yeah, how old?
And then I have two other ones.
Two other sisters?
Two others.
Yeah.
Honorable mention.
Four girls.
Wow. Hey, so are they shaving their heads too, Jane, or is it just you?
My little sister wants to, but we don't think she really actually wants to.
You have to be prepared for that, right, Jane? I mean,
it's
you have to deal with not only the action of doing that, but the consequences. The idea that you have to wait for that hair to grow back.
Yeah.
And hair's a big deal to a girl.
Are asking me all the time if I'm a boy or a girl.
Yeah. You tell them I'm a girl and I'll punch you both.
I get that a lot, too. I get that a lot, too. So don't worry about it.
John's a grown man.
Yeah. Hey, Jane, do you know Annie and George Petrovich, the people that nominated you?
Yes, I do.
Are they good people?
Yeah, they're so nice.
Yeah, they're family friends. They're the ones that told us about
you. Thank you to them for nominating a great kid of the week.
All right, so here's what I got for you. For being a great kid and for being our favorite of all your sisters, all the girls in your house, we got an app gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. You go to app, pick up some new electronics, whatever you want. And what else do we want to give her, Sandberg? Oh, Lou Malnati's.
I want to give her a Lou Malnati's.
Lou Malnati's pizza. You like pizza?
Of course. Thank you.
Of course you do. You're an American. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
That's Jane. Is she nice?
Oh, she's
very nice.
That was good.
Very nice. Too nice for this show.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve, Governor Rauner said, "I think the idea of handing out cash if you're a candidate for office is outrageous. It should not happen."
Did he say skeevy? I didn't make that up, did I?
The state Board of Elections Chair Ken Menzel said that, General Counsel.
Oh, he said skeevy?
Yeah, but listen, it should not happen. I learned after the fact, and I was pretty upset when I heard it was going on.
You learned after the fact?
That's what he says. But you and I yesterday were talking about the idea that how do you not know in the moment?
Yeah,
and you look over to your left, and the guy's got a whole stack of
And hundreds. Why don't you have people working for you who do their job and get you out of that situation? So
there should be like an emergency plan. Cash on hand. Get in the limo.
See cash. Run the other way.
DEFCON cash.
We did find out, though, that Willie Wilson did give out $200,000 at one church.
Wow.
One church. So, again, even if there are 2,000 parishioners, that's $2,100 bills.
And if this is legal, are we going to see more of this where foundations hand out money to voters?
I don't know if people got Willie Wilson's kind of money, do they? I don't know.
I'm sure there are some people.
And to be fair, Mr. Wilson has done a tremendous job of being giving, and he's a philanthropist, and he's given away. And it's not just during an election. He's done it throughout his career. It's just bad timing for him to be doing this after announcing he's running for mayor.
It doesn't have to be illegal. You shouldn't be able to hand out stacks of cash if you're running for office. Right.
This is your move, though. You like to hand out cash.
Yeah, but I'm not running for office.
I know, but you do. Right. Dave can attest. Anybody that walks in this studio, you like to hand out 20s.
Yeah.
So what? Wow.
They're not real.
Yeah,
what is the ruling here? I mean, because why is this legal? How is this legal, I guess, is the question I have to ask.
Well, you think about it. It wasn't a campaign event, right?
Okay.
Right. It wasn't outside of a polling place.
But you're a declared candidate.
You're a declared candidate, so I suppose you could come up with legislation to do it. But what's the problem, Steve? We always have the same problem. Those who benefit from the rules make the rules, so why would they change the rules?
Well, that's a good point.
All right. Yesterday, it was right about this time that I believe I called the guy at the Cubs game a jackass. This is the guy that... that had the foul ball roll, or I shouldn't say a foul ball. Coach tossed the ball from under a tarp to a little kid. Little kid missed it. The ball bounced under the seat, and a guy behind him grabbed it and was very excited for himself.
He gave it to his wife, and he pumped his fist, and like, we got one.
Right, and I called the guy a jackass. Turns out I may be the jackass. Now, I'm skeptical about this. Not that I'm clearly a jackass.
No, you're not.
But in this case... I'm not sure we're still getting the full story.
Well, because what happened because of the outrage that was both on, they keep calling it social media outrage, which is just people outrage. It's not like a bunch of bots are like, I am outraged. These are people that are outraged. That there was the Cubs and the family, the mom of the son had put out statements, both of the statements saying that what you saw in the video was not accurate, that the man had been selfless in that. It was a very good day for foul balls.
Oh, the mom said it?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, the mom and
oh,
the
I
Cubs.
Did not know that.
They both put out statements, and they said it's been a good day for foul balls.
Okay.
The man had handed out foul balls to the kid had already got one, blah, 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 all the way down the line. Now, no, I would push back only from looking at those statements.
The Zapruder film?
Those don't change what we saw on the television. And regardless of what ball was given to what kid at what time, the coach lobbed the ball to a 7-year-old or whatever this was.
True.
The kid missed it. the first right of refusal has to go to the kid. If the mom goes, he already has one, it's yours.
Yeah, that's
then they
true.
Go, yeah, no, this guy that's jumped true. Down, grabbed it.
But Justin, if you have all of the people who were sitting around this guy saying, no, the guy was great all day.
No, but what Justin said,
all around. I don't care
I understand
about
what
that
Justin's
context.
Saying.
Well, maybe the audience says it. What Justin is saying is these are two different things happening at the same time.
Yes,
and how do you get past the look on her face when this happened?
Yeah.
You can, that look was unmistakable.
Regardless of the context, I understand, and you can, I'm one of the people I would say I don't have any sort of negative feeling towards this guy. I'm not trying to make it a, I know that the Cubs are very sensitive because of what's happened in their past with fans and vilifying fans. But that has nothing to do with it. I'm not on Twitter saying, this guy, I don't really care. I'm a casual observer of this. But the concept that the hand, that what's at play here is that a coach lobbed a ball to a seven-year-old.
To a little kid.
Now, even if the kid had the ball already and he got that ball, he can make the choice once he, if he wants to be selfless. But the ball, there's an ownership question here.
And you look like a rock star. You look like a rock star when
you hand
it
off. If the guy goes, yay, we got one. Do you want it? And the mom goes, he already has one. It's yours. And they go, yes, we got one. This wouldn't be an issue. But the guy, like, just completely had no interest whatsoever.
That's where I think that
the powers that be, both the family and the Cubs organization, want us to go in one direction. The media, of course, the higher than thou media at the Chicago Tribune or other radio stations are telling us how we're supposed to react to this video. I don't buy it. That don't tell me how to react to it, columnist.
Somebody wrote a column about it.
Yeah,
who wrote a column?
Phil Rosenthal wrote a column.
Phil needs work.
I just feel like what I saw on television. I have the right to react the way that I reacted.
Yeah, and I'm telling you right now.
I wouldn't call him a jackass, but
on
that's yours.
Based on what I now know, I apologize to that individual, whoever he is, but only because the mom made her statement. I'm going to go with the mom's word over the word of the guy that grabbed the ball from the little kid. Going forward, I don't care what the Cubs say. The Cubs have lied before, they'll lie again. But in this case, I'm wrong, and I apologize. And I mean that sincerely.
I would like to say that I stand by my ruling of not agreeing with you.
Agreeing with me?
What I saw in video was a guy who took a ball from a little kid.
Well, that's what Justin said.
And that's that.
Yeah.
And there could be other reasons why that happened.
It'd be funny if the little guy walks out with like 14 balls.
Yeah.
He's like getting him from people all over the park.
And Dave, obviously on the other side, you're more of the Cubs.
But I think if you have enough voices, and it's not just the Cubs, Steve, it's also a guy who apparently didn't know this guy who was sitting next to him.
I don't care about the guy. I care about the mom.
Okay, well.
Yeah, but right, Dave's point being that if there are several people around the guy telling
one story. I just apologize.
Then maybe there is some truth to that story because there's corroborating
evidence.
That's,
and I know what you saw in video, and I think we all agree that you can take a snippet of video and you can read it any way you want to.
No, that's never happened.
But that's where we vary because I don't think it's out of context. The video is not out of context. They want to say it's out of context.
But you didn't see the video of where the kid actually got
the ball. But at that point, that's not what I'm not saying. Give the kid another ball. I'm saying the ball was lobbed to a kid. If this guy grabs it,
we're talking about proper grown-up behavior.
That's all I'm saying. That's what the outrage is about.
And by the way,
the kid didn't get his foul ball that he needed.
If the guy I called the jackass gets a hold of me, I'll buy him.
Yeah, you do hand out.
I'll buy him because I hand out 20s. Apparently, I'll buy him. What's a baseball? $70? I'll buy him 2.5 baseballs.
Yeah, he's not from here. He was here for his honeymoon. They went to a Cub game.
I love the Cubs made a big deal about that too.
I know because they're afraid he won't want to come back or something from this experience.
She didn't. The wife didn't seem all that thrilled.
Yeah. Well, would you want to go to a baseball game?
I think people have been paid off. You're right.
Romantic.
But the mom said specifically that she and her son had already decided if they get another ball, it was going to somebody else, that they weren't going to take it.
They give it to the kid, and the kid had an opportunity to give it away.
If he hands it back to the kid would go, oh, and the mom would go, you know what, you can keep it, we have one. And this would not be a story, we'd be talking about Matt Carpenter.
But what if the kid wasn't appreciative?
What if? Oh, yeah. Why would you offer the kid another ball if he didn't say thank you the first time?
Don't be bringing your facts in here. Don't be bringing your logical facts into this discussion.
I did what everybody tells you to do. Yeah. You give the ball to a kid and he didn't even say thank you.
I can tell you one thing.
How do we know he didn't say thank you?
No, Joe said he gave a ball to a kid that didn't say thank you on a different occasion.
Oh, you did.
So I should give him the right of first refusal if he's not.
The ball was thrown to the kid. This is not the Wild Wild West. The coach went here and threw it. The kid missed it because he's a kid. It doesn't give you don't get the right to then get the ball and run.
He's got subpar skills.
I think that guy owes that kid $1,000. Ballgate.
Everybody stop.
At least he didn't push him over into the
everybody
field.
Stop. The bottom line is, how is this kid right now? Is the kid
he's
okay
fine.
With everything?
He's well, fine. We don't know.
We need a kid
we don't
statement.
Know. He could be in therapy. The kid could be completely messed up for the rest of his life. If this kid ends up in prison when he's 18, I think we know who to blame.
I will tell you
this.
The
mother's quote was, the kid had the best day of his life.
Then yes. There we go.
Okay. I mean, so why? I mean, why,
I still want to hear from the kid.
I will thanks, say Mary. Here's well one, said, Mary.
Here's the fact.
I want the kid brought in for questioning immediately.
We need to put a little transponder on this kid to see where he's at in 18 years.
I love how the kid is fine and everybody else is so riled up.
It's just about etiquette. It's an etiquette conversation.
Know.
I don't think there's any question about it. We should spend most of the morning talking about this.
Again.
It's not a waste of time at all.
They do.
And then a podcast later.
Again, if you're just tuning in, this is Ballgate 2018.
I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
713. This is show number 1190. And welcome to it. The Reverend Gregory Livingston standing by. Let's get to him now because he has warned us that there is going to be a protest on North Lakeshore Drive, part of an anti-violence march, to land at Wrigley. And let me get the Reverend on the phone now, previous guest on the show. Welcome back, Reverend.
The great Steve Cochran. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Don't you start with me. Reverend, look, up front, appreciated that you're giving folks a warning on this, but tell me what you hope to accomplish here.
Well, you know, it's really necessary to redistribute pain. What I mean by that is we really feel, you know, there are many citizens in the city that don't know how some of their other citizen brothers and sisters are suffering and what they're dealing with. And so, you know, oftentimes people in disadvantaged and challenged areas, their cries and complaints are ignored and neglected. And people in better off areas, their cries and complaints are attended to. So we have to bring the suffering to where the city, where the powers that be, actually listen to people's complaints and cries.
Now, see, it's interesting because we've talked about this before in light of Black Friday celebrations and different things. I get the basic premise, and we should all share in the pain. I get that as well. But my concern for you is, and my concern for the cause is, you start interrupting traffic, and people go, well, what do I need with your cause? You're screwing up my day.
You know, that's a great point. And, you know, we're really following in the path of someone like a Martin King, Gandhi, Jesus, people who we celebrate now, but were not as palatable in their lifetimes. They always made people uncomfortable. And, you know, Granddaddy had a hound dog, Steve, that was on the porch, and he was just whining and crying. And Granddaddy's friend says, why is that dog crying like that? And Granddaddy says, because he's lying on a nail. He says, why doesn't he move? He said, because it doesn't hurt bad enough yet. Mm-hmm. So we just
good
have
start.
To help people to move, you know, because they if they really understood, they would do it on their own. But human nature doesn't work like that.
Reverend, the Father Flager shut down the Dan Ryan a couple weeks ago, and he talked about the goal was to get the attention of our leaders, political leaders, both the mayor and the governor specifically. What are your goals with the march to shut down Lakeshore Drive and Wrigley Field?
Well, our demands are political and economic. You know, one, you know, we talked about this 3 years ago with Black Friday and hashtag Black Christmas there on Christmas Eve on Michigan Avenue. We clogged that up. But we've come to understand, you know, Rahm's a triathlete. He's not a quitter. But, you know, people talk about it's impossible for Rahm to move Ron out of that office. But the impossible is only that until somebody does it, you know. And so Rahm and Eddie Johnson was illegitimately hired by Rahm. You know, we had spent thousands of taxpayer money money on rigorously vetting three candidates for that position. But Rahm decides to suspend the law and for one day so city council can approve his handpicked guy. And I have to tell you, the community is very upset with Eddie Johnson for his work in that Robert Realmo case on the shooting of Quintonio LeGrier and Betty Jones. So, you know, we want to see Rahm gone. We want to see Eddie gone. But until that happens, what we need to see is something new and positive and progressive and proactive on the fifth floor and from public safety as well. So, you know, we're looking for consent decrees to be, you know, actually taken seriously and signed on to. We're looking for, you know, instead of 50 schools being closed, let's open up 50 schools that are funded by some of these giants you're bringing in, by, like Google and Amazon. They get these tax incentives and tax subsidies. Well, why not let them use some of that cash in some of these more blighted neighborhoods to make a difference? Turn these closed schools into digital training centers. Did you know, Steve, that the 50 schools at one time, it cost $1 million a day to maintain sure. those 50 closed schools?
Sure.
So, That you know, it's just that kind of apathetic attitude towards the challenge and the disadvantage is a very painful thing. And I'm a pastor. I'm working with these people every day, every week. And when you do that, you know, it's easy to monetize one's sympathy, you know, but to really to move into another realm is to actually to walk step by step with these persons that are dealing with such incredible odds. No mental health centers. You know, at one time there were no warming centers on the south side of wintertime. Why is that?
No,
and I would
outrageous.
Say, Steve, bottom line, it's corruption. It is the corruption that breeds the violence. We can't reduce the violence until we reduce the corruption.
Well, when you bring up corruption, though, then who's getting paid?
The same folk that have always been getting paid. You know, it's something we're going to do in the press conference today. We're going to really be pretty bold, I think. You know, we're going to say it because I'm just tired, if you will, of being politically correct. I'm tired of seeing the emperor butt naked and everybody pretending he's wearing, you know, an Armani suit, because people are dying because of this deception and corruption. And so, you know, we got to call Rahm out. We got to call Eddie out. We have to call these folk out so people can see what's happening. And it's not an easy thing to do because these are formidable persons. Rahm is a formidable individual. He and his brothers have put together a real Machiavellian kind of empire. But, you know, the impossible happens. You know, it does happen.
A couple of last things before we run out of time here. Sure. One of which is, who are you supporting for mayor, if anybody?
I ain't supporting nobody for mayor right now. You know, I ain't even supporting this mayor. But we want him to do better while he's in there because people are literally dying around us. You know, almost 50 people shot since the weekend. You know, we're not excusing anyone from personal responsibility, nothing like that at all. But I'm a great believer in this, Steve, that it is the lack of resources, there's poverty that produces desperation in human beings, and then human beings express themselves in violent ways, violence to others and violence to themselves.
There's a medium, a short-term, and a long-term solution to every problem. And, you know, the long-term solution here is everybody goes, well, we need more black fathers and brown fathers to stay in the homes. We need more jobs for these kids. We need more answers for these kids. That's all well and good. But how do we stop the shooting now?
One of the ways that we stop the shooting now was by putting resources in the communities. You know, it is exposure that makes a difference. You know, for years I worked with a program called Unified Delinquency Intervention Services down at Juvenile Hall, and we had these kids that did everything, Steve, from murder to rape. It didn't matter, boys and girls. But the thing was, it was to expose them to a better way of life. And, you know, I have to be honest with you, our mayor isn't interested in that. He is interested in his cronies. He's an elitist. Matter of factly, what he's very good at is being a Washington, D.C. power broker. He needs to go back home to D.C.
Is it apathy, denial, or is it really hard?
Say it one more time.
Is the problem here apathy, denial, or is it just a really hard problem to fix? Because I think there's a lot of people that really want this fixed, obviously, and they'd like to come up with an answer. They just don't have any.
It's really hard, man. It's like losing 100 pounds and wanting to become a bodybuilder, you know, there's no easy way around it. You know, you can get the stomach surgery, but who's going to put the muscle on you, right? You got to work. It's hard work, but it will be beneficial in the process because so many people who didn't know each other, who didn't understand the other, will become to do that. But we have to have the vision in order to do that. And we have to cast the vision that we can have a better city. I want to take folks from the South Side and the West Side to Wrigleyville to show them what a well-funded community looks like, to show them what public safety looks like that's operating optimally. So when they go back to their homes on the South Side and the West Side, they can have a level of dissatisfaction they didn't have before. And I believe in the intrinsic goodness of humanity that may spark something in some of them to do better. But we can only do that by exposing people to the light.
Yeah, you know, when you
and vice versa.
When your colleagues are in church, when there's a Sunday message, how often does violence come up?
Man, the funerals that I've done with short caskets, the funerals that I've done with gangbangers and the killers sitting in the congregation at the funeral, it is sadly normative.
And it can't be. And the community can't accept it either. The communities can't accept it. Because, Reverend, you know me a little bit, and I know you a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see this as a black problem or a brown problem. I see this as a people problem, because there's an awful lot of white folks listening now who are good people that would like to figure out to do, and they just don't know what to do to help.
And that's the whole thing. A lot of people want to do, they just don't know how to do it. And that's why we're getting out here and raising our voices, because we want to let people know there are people that can help you to do that which you long to do within, but you just don't know how yet. And so we want to do that. You know, we look at people before we look at their labels. You know, so I love humanity. The labels, we understand how that works and how that comes about, the constructs and everything else. You and I talked about that 3 years ago. But we look at the person first, you know, and if we could teach other people to do that, I think we would have a much safer and less frustrated city.
Good luck today. What time is the press conference?
11 o'clock a.m. outside Wrigley Field, Addison and Clark. Hey, play ball, baby. You know.
Thank you, Reverend.
I'm a Jack Brickhouse guy. You know what I mean?
I get it. No, I get it. I get it. Thank you, Reverend. I appreciate your time. That's Reverend Gregory Livingston. I just think we get a lot of people in a room and talk, and talk's going to help more than other things have. But there's a lot. I mean, like, I don't have the answer. I can't sit here and tell you.
Well, I think that the Reverend is saying that there has been a lot of talk, and talk hasn't gotten the job done. I know Father Flager said that exact same thing before, even in person, on the Dan Ryan as they were shutting it down. So sometimes these acts of nonviolent protest are about the fact that talk hasn't gotten them anywhere.
Well, since I'm on board with trying to fix the problem, if I go to the game, can I get like a special lane where I don't get stuck in traffic?
Yeah, should ask the Reverend.
That's probably,
you should call him on his cell day
selfish.
Of. Hey,
that's
what's the best route?
Most valuable person on the planet coming up.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
You know, there's plenty of problems with social media, but sometimes it's nothing short of miraculous as we welcome the most valuable person on the planet. Good morning to you, Amy Pavlich. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You're a rock star.
Good morning.
You're a rock star.
Thank you.
Which you are.
Thank you very much.
Let me set up your story here. You're on Facebook, and you see that there's someone that needs help and needs it quickly, and this could probably be life-saving. Pick it up from there. What did you do?
So when I found the post on Facebook, I was touched in a very special place, so I reached out to the family, and it's one of those, how do you send someone a message that says, like, you know, I want to give you a kidney? So it was definitely a little awkward, but I ended up just reaching out to his wife Laura, and she was able to assist me with sending me a link to the application to the hospital that we were listed under, that he was, and the process just took off.
Now, originally, I understand that doctors didn't think you were a match. Is that accurate?
So, originally, what had happened, I'm not entirely sure, but I do know that I'd gotten denied through the University of Pennsylvania Hospital in Philadelphia, and we had to transfer hospitals to Jefferson Hospital in Philadelphia. So, I'm not sure. I believe that the doctors believed in me.
Right. Well, when you when it first comes up that, you know, maybe this isn't going to work out, are you relieved or disappointed or both? Or what's the emotion?
It's devastating to hear anything like that. I mean, in the process that I had, there was a lot of hiccups, a lot of retesting and being told this test came back inconclusive.
And you just want to help?
And hearing, yeah, and hearing that is really hard because all you're trying to do is help somebody and save someone. So it got a little bit trying.
Have you been on a list to donate organs in the past, or was this your first go at it?
This was my first go at it, and honestly, my 28 years, I had never even thought about donating a kidney until I saw a post on Facebook, and I call it like divine intervention because I didn't make the choice. It was almost like the God of my understanding made it for me and told me, like, this is what you should be passionate about.
I totally believe in that.
Amy, you know, that obviously that decision is very tough to make. Your family and people around you, were they supportive of the choice that you were making to help a stranger out from Facebook?
So I think at first everybody was kind of like, what? What are you doing?
Right.
But after I had explained, I mean, my mom fully has supported me this entire time alongside my stepdad and my dad. And I've been very fortunate to have a very considerate and caring job. I serve at the Olive Garden, so like of all places, but they were so supportive and let me take all the time off that I needed to do tests and the surgery.
Good for them.
Yeah, I mean, I really couldn't have asked for any more like positive support.
Did you celebrate with breadsticks and an unending salad bowl?
You know, I actually just went there to eat for the first time last night, and I did celebrate with a salad.
Oh, that salad dressing is so good. You can buy it by the jar.
Sure,
there. I always get that.
It's so delicious.
You're an amazing human being, and we're proud to have you on the program. I'm very impressed, and I just wanted to make sure people knew your story, because just hearing your story can inspire others to do the same.
Yeah, it's actually like really interesting just hearing the story. I had a good friend of mine back from high school actually reach out to me and say that she had tried, but because of certain things, technicalities, she wasn't able to donate. But I had another friend, one of my best friends, message me last night, and she was like, I want you to help me start this process. And I was like, wow, okay. And a very kind girl on Facebook reached out to me and said the same thing. So I mean, it has to be helping if I'm, you know, hearing people reach out to me, which makes me feel obviously very great.
You know, there's a bone marrow donor website where you can put yourself into the system, and you may or may not come up, but you can put yourself in and get the process started. And I had a friend of mine that did that was a match, and that's another way to change people's lives and save their lives. But you're something else, Amy. Where are you, Philly or Pittsburgh?
I am from Pittsburgh.
Well, go Steelers. I don't say that very often, but I will for you.
Thank you. Definitely right. Go Steelers.
You, if you get to Chicago, please come see us, and continued good health. Thanks for doing what you did.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
That's Amy.
That's a positive story about social media, right? Facebook, there's so much that goes out and it's negative, but the idea that that a woman donates her kidney to a stranger because of a Facebook post.
And as a parent.
Tremendous. Most valuable person on the planet.
As a parent, you hear that and you go, oh, well, good, as you're thinking, please don't do this.
Yeah, it's a tremendous, tremendous
sacrifice.
Act of,
tremendous.
And sacrifice.
Healthy person going to do it. It's great.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
A couple of pieces of sound before we get to Ryan Nobles here. This is the big story from yesterday with ramifications that are ongoing. Here's MSNBC's Hallie Jackson breaking down the wag the dog theory of why Donald Trump was taking a shot at Iran in all caps over the weekend. Listen.
If you look at the president's past tweets on this, it's clear that he believes that a conflict with Iran might be something that a president would do to bolster himself politically.
Well, so hang on, because now we're getting into the wag the dog conversation, right? And this is a conversation to have. When we set aside the policy piece, as Kimberly pointed out, there are real policy ramifications. We are 3 weeks now from those, as you said, snapback sanctions go into effect.
Right.
Iran thinking, hey, maybe we're going to get baited into something, as Richard explained. So fine, that's the policy piece. From the politics piece, There is a discussion. Is the president trying to distract? Here's the thing. He sent one tweet about Iran, five on Russia, including in the last 2 hours here. He clearly is upset about Russia. He clearly is annoyed about that. I don't know. It seems as though folks who say the president's trying to strategically distract may be giving him a little more credit, just considering what he is now publicly talking about.
Rand Paul, meanwhile, who had lost his mind somewhere in the last year, year and a half. He used to be at least an occasionally reasonable guy. And now he's sucking up so hard to the far right, he may pull a muscle. Rand Paul wanted to talk about John Brennan, who has been very tough on Trump, but a guy who protected this country at the highest level. And his intelligence knowledge is crucial for the rest of us going forward. Listen to what he says about Brennan. Here's
this is so over the top that something's got to be done, and these people do not need to be privy to secrets because they might be using these secrets for partisan purposes. They are nakedly partisan, and John Brennan should not get anywhere within 10,000 yards of the government. He should have a restraining order.
Oh, what the hell is he talking about? Here's James Clapper. Clapper, the DNI head, all he's had is 50 years of security experience. Well, what good could he do us? Talking about his security clearance being revoked.
That's kind of a sad commentary where, for political reasons, this is a kind of a petty way of retribution, I suppose, for speaking out against the president, which I think are on the part of all of us, are born out of genuine concerns about President Trump.
And by the way, you do get to criticize the guy in the White House. This is America. And lastly, Steve Schmidt, the guy who ran John McCain's campaign in 2008, has been a Republican his whole life until he renounced his party membership in the past couple of months. What does Schmidt think of this?
This is a very dangerous day for American democracy. This is the move of an autocrat, not an American president. We don't strip security clearances for political reasons from members of the opposition party who have served all of their careers, all of their lives in defense of the country, have sworn oaths to the Constitution, not to a party, not to the leader. But, you know, this is part and parcel.
That's a great point. That's the best point of the whole thing. The idea that these people have already served and they have done in nonpartisan ways. They have done in a way that they've served their country and the Constitution. And yeah, on both sides. And the idea now to act as if they can't have a voice like the rest of the citizens of the United States of America is detrimental to the way we live our lives.
Ryan Nobles from CNN joins us. And the question I have for you, Ryan, right out of the gate is this "you don't like me, you can't play" or a legitimate effort by Donald Trump to shut down any criticism?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you, Steve. And you know, the thing that I was most struck by in that group of sound that you played was how, you know, the members of the Trump administration and allies of President Trump purposely try and, you know, create distractions as a way to get away from the bigger things that they're dealing with, and they mislead the American public. So that soundbite you played from Rand Paul, and you're absolutely right that Rand Paul is usually someone who you can rely on to at least be honest. That soundbite wasn't honest. He made it seem as though having a national security clearance means that you get a memo once a month from the federal government with a list of all of our state secrets. That's not how a security clearance works. A security clearance means that if someone wants you to have access to information, you are able to have access to that information. So if you're working on a government contract that requires a specific set of information that's beyond a level of security, you're able to have access to that security. It's not as if these guys are sitting in on the intelligence briefing every day and learning all these highly classified secrets. It just doesn't happen that way. So what the president and what Rand Paul did in that soundbite is they're making it seem as though these guys are learning all this information and then using it as a way to purposely hurt President Trump. That's just not the case. They're guys with a ton of experience who are giving their opinion from what they know from their past experiences. And again, this is the president trying to make his supporters think that something is happening that just isn't there.
We've seen this distraction thing, don't look over there, look over here, don't look over here, look over there, thing gone on since the moment he walked into office. Are people in Washington talking about it getting worse? Because it seems like since Trump, in loose quotes here, took control of everything related to the White House and his own decisions on everything, he's gotten more desperate and he's lashing out more.
I described it Sunday night on CNN as feeling like we're on a tilt-a-whirl. You just don't have any idea which direction you're heading at any given moment. And I think the one thing that people are most concerned right now about the president's conduct is that it's always been unpredictable, but now he's even contradicting himself. You know, one moment he says he does believe the Intelligence Committee assessment, the next moment he calls it a hoax. And so it's hard to get a read. You know, it's one thing if you kind of know where someone's coming from, and you don't necessarily have to agree with their perspective, but at least you can kind of take the measure of the man and be able to predict what's going to happen next. And you can't do that with Donald Trump. And that's become, I think, a bigger problem, not just for people that oppose him, but people who support him. You're seeing many of these members of Congress having to get tied up in knots, trying to explain where the president sits on any given issue, and that's just made the process more complicated.
It's Ryan Nobles from CNN. Hang on a second, Ryan. We'll come back right after this.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Our pal Ryan Nobles from CNN on the phone. A question from a texter. Why would anyone have high-level security clearance when they no longer work for the federal government? Ryan?
Yeah, that is a great question. And one of the things that the president has said is that he wants to see these guys stop profiting from their security clearances after they left the government. But
I love that President Trump doesn't want to see people profiting from government.
I know, exactly.
It's unbelievable.
But the question that your texter has is a good one, and if you're not familiar with the way the government works, is, you know, the lion's share of government work is done by independent contractors, people that don't work for the government but are contracted by the government. So when you're dealing with a high-level defense contract, that sometimes requires the negotiation of information that is at a certain level of security clearance. So what government contractors do is they hire people that at one point worked in the government and obtained a security clearance. And once you obtain that security clearance, you never lose that security clearance unless there's some reason for you to lose it. You don't lose it when you separate from government service. So it is a valuable asset to have in the government contracting game, because you need those people in those positions in order to get major government work done. So it is a necessity of this process. So the idea that just because you leave the government, you lose the security clearance is not really feasible the way our government works.
Well, couldn't the president and his administration make an argument for reforming that process to be able to control leaks and other things that come out of it, or avoid people profiting off of their clearance, without naming specifically the people that he wants to revoke that clearance? You see what I mean? Like, I think
it was a legitimate goal.
But if you make a better argument to the American people that this needs to be reformed by talking about the system, not necessarily the individuals.
Right. So you're suggesting like a cool, calm, plan that we put in place that actually deals with the issue at hand? No, of course he could, right? There's no doubt about that. But that it's not about that. That's not what the goal here is. The goal here is to embarrass a very small group of people who've been very critical of the president over a certain period of time. You know, this is why I think to a certain extent the president is successful, right? Because to say that there's no problem with the security clearance system, and that there are a lot of people who have security clearances that maybe shouldn't have them, there might be a shred of truth to that. Now, I don't know that specifically, but that's not to say it isn't something the government should be looking into. So the president takes that little shred of truth and then blows it up into this massive thing and uses it as a way to criticize people that are critical of him. So, yeah, I mean, sure, there'd probably be a way to reform this process, but I think at the end of the day, that's not really what President Trump's goal is.
So, Ryan, I know one thing for sure is that on July 22nd, things changed for you. Before that day, you had never had an adequate beef on Weck sandwich outside of Western New York, but then you visited a place called Little Buffalo.
Yes.
Well, first off, explain what a beef on Weck is.
Yes, sorry. So as you guys know, I am a very proud Buffalo, New York, Western New York
native.
You're
a Buffalonian.
That's right. And so everybody talks about chicken wings from Buffalo, and chicken wings are a ubiquitous Buffalo food. You can basically get that anywhere in the world, obviously at varying levels of quality. But another thing that comes out of Buffalo is a roast beef sandwich called a beef on wick And the wick is a Kimmewick roll, it's called, which is like a very special salty roll that is a special treat. And when I was a kid, you get a beef on wick in every restaurant in all of Western New York. And as I've left Western New York, you can't find them anywhere.
Right.
And so I was bragging about beef on wicks while I was with the crew this weekend covering the president in New Jersey. And our producer, Eric Siegel, said, if he's going to look for a beef on wick where we were. And I said, if you find one, I'll pay for it. So he found this place called Little Buffalo, which is a tiny place in New Jersey. And the eight members of our crew all got beef on wicks. And I can tell you, it's the best beef on wick I've ever had outside of Buffalo. Oh, my gosh,
outside
it was amazing.
And you were probably a rock star and a hero for insisting on it.
Everybody was very happy with my insistence that we go find this sandwich. And I highly recommend that to all Chicagoans if they ever find themselves in Western New York. Don't leave Western New York without getting a beef on wick. I would even argue it's more important than getting a good chicken wing there, because you can get good chicken wings pretty much anywhere now, but you can only get a beef on wick, apparently, in this restaurant in New Jersey and in Western New York.
If you were taking your family to see Niagara Falls and you could only do that or get a beef on wick, which would you do?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I mean, the Maze of the Mist is pretty impressive, but, you know, the thing about Niagara Falls is, Niagara Falls is obviously amazing. But Niagara Falls, the experience is over in about 20 minutes. There's really nothing else to do once you've seen it. So
right.
I don't think you'd ever have to make that choice, I guess, is my
diplomatic way of saying
that.
The joy of a beef on wick could go on for days.
Yes, my life has been changed, especially because I have to spend a lot of weekends in New Jersey. So now I know I can always find a beef on wick if need be.
It's our Ryan Nobles. Follow him all over social media. Best to your family. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
There you go. And we are back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
You're like one of those acapella guys.
What?
You're like from the movie Pitch Perfect.
Was my mic on?
I thought you were sick. Are you all right?
Welcome to More on Entertainment. It's More on Entertainment. That's Dean. And how are you, Dean?
I'm very well.
We have a show to announce.
Let me get a pencil.
Okay.
Let me pretend like I'm interested.
We have a show to announce. Let me go live to John DeCoste.
Is this the New Year's Eve show?
No. The one that you're involved in?
Yes, no. The one you're doing?
No, this is coming up very soon. John, when is our next stand-up comedy extravaganza?
Our next one will be August 24th.
That's August 24th.
Friday night. Yeah, it's the only time that we will be out in St. Charles at Zany's Pheasant Run this year.
Ooh.
And this is really good. It's as seen and heard on WGN TV and radio, because it's Steve Cochran, myself, and the great Mike Toomey.
He's performing.
Yes.
Oh, you're all hilarious.
Oh, but Mike is the best.
I would say, and this is no smack to anybody else that we have on the shows that we do, we get requests for Toomey more often than anybody. And why not? He's great.
That's absolutely true.
So, he's great. I don't know. I mean, I know he's a jerk to work with there at Channel 9, but he's a
he's huge diva.
Yeah. I started comedy with him. I totally agree, Dean.
When and how do we get tickets?
You can go to the zanyspheasantrun.com to get tickets, or call the box office directly at 630-524-0001. That's August 24th at 8 o'clock. One show on a Friday night.
The Zanies in St. Charles.com, you said?
Yes, I did.
Zanies.com.
Zanies.com,
and you just click on Pheasant Run.
Yes, that's right.
That'll cover it.
Head to Zanies.com.
You know, it's one of them .com situations.
Zanies.com.
At 8:15, we'll get to your preview of what's coming up in the news in a second, but there's a bunch of stuff to talk about. David Bowie, Robert De Niro, Dennis Quaid. When Dennis Quaid was in with you guys, what was that, a week ago?
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal with his face?
What do you mean?
Looked like he had quite a bit of work done. I don't mean like a little work. I mean like July on the Eisenhower work.
Steve, I'm not a doctor, so I'm really not qualified to comment. I would say that
So not a single person at Narcissistic, It's All About Our Faces, Channel 9, has made a comment about Dennis Quaid when he left.
Something didn't look...
He's a handsome dude. He was always a handsome dude. Right. What's he need to be putting his face in different places?
I don't know why people can't
places.
Just look age-appropriate.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? You know what it is? He was married to that Meg Ryan for a little while.
Oh, boy.
And
oh,
they
boy.
They probably got a two-for-one deal because, she had a ton of work and wound up looking like Jack Nicholson as the Joker in Batman.
There's probably monetary reasons for them to do that, right? I mean, they want to look younger so they get better parts, and then they get one part to pay for the whole thing, right?
Better parts now, that's for sure.
Yeah, her lips, her ears. I just thought he looked very different on camera.
Yeah, I agree. Well, the story, I'll tell you the story in a second, but he's had a pretty rough life, so...
And whatever happened to his brother, his lunatic brother?
Yeah, he's the normal brother of the two.
Randy Quaid. Randy Quaid and his crazy wife, they lived in some resort in, I don't know, Portland or something, and then they escaped to Canada, and they didn't pay their bills. Where are they now?
I've not kept up with them. I took them off my Christmas card list. You send Christmas cards to people, like, after 10 years, I'm going to take you off my list.
Yeah. It's understandable. But Randy Quaid's got less chance of working than Kevin Spacey at this point.
Yeah, that's very true.
So
that's very true.
And Mission Impossible, the premiere, we'll talk about that coming up.
Tom Cruise. He got a lot of feedback on some of the pictures that I posted with Tom Cruise and myself. Some people don't like him.
Really? There are a lot of people that don't like him. I think he's a complete nut, but I love his acting.
Yeah.
Can't you have both? Can't you have somebody that's great at their job, but you really dislike him as a person? Can't you have that, Dean?
Hey, you're telling me.
I'm asking more than telling. And we're still taking awkward wedding stories as well. And the text question of the day, your awkward wedding story is 312-981-7200. Do you have an awkward wedding story?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is more on entertainment.
I know, but there's, it's an ensemble thing. Mm-hmm. I never ensemble. Quite, sometime, you know.
Assume it's you unless I direct you differently.
Awkward wedding story. Would this include fight breaking out at the reception and people, several people falling in a swimming pool?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did that happen?
Yes. William Tell in Countryside, Illinois, my friend.
And was this a friend's wedding, a family wedding?
This was one of my best friends that I grew up with. I've known him since I was like 4 years old.
Was it Dave and Karen?
I was best
the
man.
Annets?
It was not.
Best man at his wedding, and some of the guests at the wedding were slightly overserved and got into a little altercation that wound up in the swimming pool area, which is interesting because it was not really near the hall where the reception was taking place. So I don't know how they got to the swimming pool, but it wound up like 10 people wound up in the swimming pool fighting.
Oh. And did a couple stay together?
They did not stay together.
That's a shocker. That's a shocker. That's a good story. I got a few more for you. 773, bride and a groom high-fived instead of kissed at the wedding. It lasted 8 months. Hmm. Bride and groom got into a screaming match at the reception. Bride threw champagne at the groom. Marriage lasted a year and a half. Groom slept with another girl the night before the wedding, told the bride he didn't want to go through with the wedding. She said, you've got to go through with the wedding because everyone's here.
Yeah, it's a lot of money that's already been put in.
They got married anyway. 5 months later, they got divorced.
Oh, I can't believe that.
The priest that married my sister, who is now divorced, when he turned them around and said, he presented Kathy and Tommy, and her name is Katie. So... I think that was a bad...
We got another one of those right here. In California, we eloped on a boat. The captain of the ship was doing the wedding. He said, do you, Chuck, take Jean to be your wife? I looked at the guy and said, who the hell's Chuck? Apparently, the wedding planner didn't erase the name of the couple that got married before us. And 309, during the maid of honor speech, the bride's sister began talking about the love triangle between her and the bride and the groom. It's a tad awkward. And she was the maid of honor. So, it makes for the reception to be really awkward.
That happens at a lot of weddings when they bring up the exes, when the maid of honor brings them up.
Yeah,
yeah, it seems like a go-to.
Like, why would you
probably
do
not
that?
Necessary. Dean, coming back. More on entertainment continues next, 720 WGN.
knowing his name.
Dean Richards. Welcome back to Moron Entertainment. So why did you have to go to Washington to talk to Tom Cruise?
Because that's where the U.S. premiere was, at the National Air and Space Museum, because the movie is filled with all kinds of aircraft and air maneuvers, you know, stunts.
This is the one he broke his leg on?
This is the one that he shattered his ankle, is actually what happened to him. As who hasn't done this, really, when you're jumping from skyscraper to skyscraper, from roof to roof? Who hasn't occasionally smashed their ankle on the side of a building when you've misjudged the jump a little bit?
Well, I'll tell you right now, when I did the movie Drop Dead Fred as waiter number two, I had a hangnail, and you didn't hear me complain.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to, you know, give him credit. He smashes into the side of the building. He continues the scene. He's supposed to hit the jump on the roof of the building and continue running. I don't know if you've noticed this. Tom Cruise likes to run.
Yeah.
In his movies. Mm-hmm. There's quite a spectacular running scene in this movie, but he hits the side of the building, instead climbs up on the roof, and then continues to run past the camera before stopping and asking the director, "I hope you got that, because I'm pretty sure I broke it." Which winds
up... He's a tough little dude.
That he did. Some people just don't like Tom Cruise no matter what. I'm judging the guy in his acting, and he does almost all of the stunts that he does, including jumping off the sides of buildings, out of airplanes.
Wow.
Jumping roof to roof like he does in this building. He does the majority of it. So when I talked to him on the red carpet at the museum, you know, I asked him about this. I mean, what's the difference between this kind of action movie and the kind that we most always see with Avengers and, you know, special effects? And this is what he said.
Well, ours is practical action. McHugh and I are more classic kind of filmmakers and storytellers. Ones that, you know, the things that we love is, you know, the Harold Lloyd, the Buster Keatons, the Charlie Chaplins, and that kind of classic storytelling. And, you know, applying modern technology to this, but doing everything we can to invest the audience. To not just, I don't want the audience just to watch the movie, I want them to really feel it. With any film I'm making, I don't want that objective. I want them on the edge of their seat. And I think that's what we're trying to do for the audience.
You so famously injured yourself pretty seriously this time. Does that change your perspective? I mean, you are the daredevil of daredevils and will do anything, and I suspect that you haven't changed that much.
No.
But after the injury, did you say, maybe I ought to think about things a little more carefully?
I mean, I evaluated what I did wrong in that jump. I could do it better next time. And that's about it.
But it wouldn't hold you back from doing something even more daring, more exciting.
No.
My favorite response that I heard you tell somebody else on this carpet is your response when you jump out of a plane, your response when you do something spectacular.
In my mind is, oh, shit. You know?
That's tremendous.
So, you know, like the rest of us when we jump out of a building.
We all curse.
Without a parachute.
Yeah, no, we all curse. We were talking about Dennis Quaid before. Dean, you're going on and on about how his face doesn't look right.
He may have had a bad reaction to some Clearasil. I used to have that all the time when.
But he was very. He's being very honest, talking about his drug problem, right?
Very opened up in a broadcast interview and talked about how in some of the movies that he did in the late 1980s, during the 1980s up until the late 1980s, they actually would build in a budget in the movie for his drug use. That he used cocaine
only in show business.
More than a daily basis, right? Yeah, let's see.
I got a Coke Wrangler.
We need the four cameras. We need an elephant for this scene and a ball of cocaine for the star. Is that how they sell the cocaine?
Oh, my God.
He said he finally quit. Interestingly, he finally quit when he got engaged to Meg Ryan. Which I would think would be exactly the other way.
Yeah, based on your experience with Meg Ryan, you would have had the Coke and the drinking.
That would have been what started it.
But, yeah. Sandberg.
You'll be happy to know I found Randy Quaid on Instagram.
Oh, where is he?
It's randy.quaid.evie, E-V-I.quaid.
Yeah, that's
he and his wife. They do a lot of family portraits with their dog, Doji. And they look like they're up to no good, basically.
All right, so check that out on Instagram, kids.
Let's bring them out. We have them right here.
Yeah,
right
we're in the hallway.
Come on out, Randy.
There's a great story about David Bowie's first recording, which Dean's talking about on TV all morning. Robert De Niro might be in the Joker, new Joker movie.
That's great.
But what's this headline? The generation's biggest rock group breaks up?
Oh, I mean, I can't even believe that we didn't lead with this. This band, Steve, is called This Generation's Greatest Rock Band.
It's a great name for a band.
Well, that's not the name of the band.
Well, they should call themselves that. That's a great name.
No, they have a better name, Diarrhea Planet.
That is not a band I was in.
Their Diarrhea Planet is breaking up. They're not giving a reason for it. That
they're being replaced by a band called More Cheese.
They're being replaced by the band called Kaopectate.
Right, right. And understandably,
they say it's been amazing to share their music with fans all these years.
Honestly, who goes to a show headlined by a band called Diarrhea Planet?
A lot of people, apparently.
Is that, they only play IBS conventions? Well, I mean, what is it? That's unbelievable. All right, buddy. That's Dean Richards. We're coming back. John McDonald will join us in a second. Pete, you've seen this band? Pete Zimmerman? Joe, did Pete say he's seen the band?
In Nashville, he saw them. Wow.
I got to get a list of every band Pete has seen, and then we need to arrest them. More awkward wedding stories coming up as well, and we're going to play a brand new trivia game after 9 on CLTV and 720 WGN. Headlines next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the Mighty.
842. My friend John McDonough invented the sports convention, the professional team convention. Only mistake he made, Dev, in it is he didn't license it. He didn't say, I'm going to put a copyright, a patent, and a trademark on this sucker.
It's never too late.
I don't think you can. It's a concept, oh, right? Yeah. You probably can't.
Yeah, I don't know.
But John is owed, we did the math on this, John is owed $100 gazillion from the rest of professional sports
Has he ever told you the story of when he told Harry Carey his idea of the Cubs convention? At Harry's reaction?
Well, let's ask him right now. Ladies and gentlemen, John McDonough joins us. What did Harry say?
I basically told Harry that this was going to be a cocktail party with about 12 to 15,000 people, and he came in from Palm Springs, California, and he said, count me in.
Now, if you said it's a party without cocktails, does he get on the plane?
I'm not so sure, but he was on board from the beginning. Good morning, guys.
How are you, my friend? Nice to talk to you again. And can you believe it's 11?
Yeah, it's going pretty fast. I think the combination between the Cubs and the Blackhawks, it's in the 30s. You know, I might go the intellectual property route. Maybe Chuck Sundy can help me out on that and figure out if there's some royalties that are going to come due.
No kidding. And the rest of the NHL, I think, thought you were nuts. I pass that rumor along, but thought you were nuts when you started doing stuff like this. And I think every team in the league does it now, don't they?
I think a lot of them do. It comes down to, you know, their ability to for the players to attend. You know, there's home fans, virtually every player on our current roster, and many of the former great players show up. So if you don't have the commitment and the participation from the players, you don't have an event. But, you know, our guys are almost 100% on board, and it's, you know, it's a chance essentially for them to convene, to celebrate everything's good and their allegiance to the Blackhawks, which is terrific.
You know, I know it just happened, so maybe it's too close to the event, but is Chris Chelios going to be available?
Yeah, he is. He'll be there. What an interesting recent chapter for Chris coming back to the Blackhawks, and we're excited. He'll be coming home. He's going to be moving back to Chicago, I think, in the near future to be a little bit closer to his mom. But this had been in the works for a while, and we talked to the folks with the Red Wings, Chris Illich and some other people, and they were very cooperative on this, and it's something that that we think it's the right time. You know, Chris is a 3-time Stanley Cup champion, 3-time Norris Trophy winner, many years. I think he was an 11-time All-Star. He is a warrior. He brings that warrior mentality. So we think he'll be a good fit for that. It will be interesting.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Hold on one second.
He's joining the show Friday at 9:10.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, okay. Well, I did want to follow up on that because he is a guy who – was such a popular player, and he owns so many important numbers, if not records, in Blackhawks history. I mean, I would think, John, wouldn't you anticipate a very warm reception for him, despite the little blip there when he was in that other place for a few years?
With the wrong jersey on?
Yeah, that one.
You know, I would, Dave. You know, however, comma, I remember when we had the night form at the United Center, and it would probably be generous to say that it was lukewarm. And Chris and I talked about that a bit, and I think that, you know, at one point he had pretty much proclaimed that he was going to be a Blackhawk forever, and he never wanted to leave, and he didn't want to play for certain franchises, and circumstances changed, and he got traded. And but I think it'll be primarily positive. You know, I had a chance to talk to at the draft about Chelios coming on board with Joel, with Scotty Bowman. Joel coached against him. Scotty coached him. And they said, you know, you couldn't find a better guy, a better example for our players. So it's great to have him with us.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the ambassador's role. It's great for the fans, but there's a lot of hockey knowledge there that you tap into all the time.
Yeah, they do, and I think between Tony and he imparts you know, a lot of his knowledge and wisdom, Tony Esposito, to Corey Crawford and our other goaltenders over the years, and certainly Dennis Savard has a great relationship with a lot of our current guys, and I think they're all in awe of Bobby Hull. So this will be a good fit, and certainly Stan Mikita, who is in many regards one of the greatest players, if not the, in Hawks history.
All right, go ahead,
John. You are known as a sports marketing genius. You've had such success.
He's a genius on all levels.
But,
wow.
Yeah. But yeah. For what you did with the Chicago Cubs, of course, and the Blackhawks, it's what helps, of course, the Blackhawks with the Stanley Cups and the success you've had on the ice. When you're in a situation where you're coming off a losing season, as a marketer, as somebody who is trying to whip up the fan base and keep that keep the loyalty, but also keep that vibe, that energy, how do you go about doing that?
You know, Justin, that's a good question. You know, the reality is we've won three Stanley Cups in 9 years. That's really difficult, and the salary cap is the great equalizer, because you have a finite amount of money to spend on your roster, and you have to pay your star players the requisite amount that they deserve, as they've taken the promised land three times. We have four players on our rosters, maybe five, that are mortal locks to go in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, you've got to do your best to surround those star players with other players, with players that are going to complement what their talents are. But it's hard to win. It's hard to win once. I mean, you ask the San Francisco Giants, you ask the Boston Red Sox, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and maybe the outlier could be the San Antonio Spurs and the New England Patriots, but by and large, it's hard to win one. But I think that our fans, you know, they recognize that the bar is so high. The expectations every year are for the Blackhawks to be a playoff team and put ourselves in a position to make a deep run. And that's where we're going to find ourselves again this year.
John, looking at a list of the convention attendees, as always, you have a big group of alumni. Nice to see that Brian Bickell is among the attendees this year. I know everybody's familiar with the struggles he's gone through from a health standpoint. And, of course, he was with another team for a few years, but that's another guy who's, I know, been an important part of your recent past.
We love having Bick around. I think he feels as if he's part of the Blackhawks family, which he certainly is. He played a big role in a few of our Stanley Cup wins, and wonderful family. And you know, the good part about the convention is these players enjoy the camaraderie. They enjoy coming back and seeing each other, and they're not compensated for their appearance. And they recognize that you know, the cement on our pillars they're still with. It's been about 11 years that this group has been together and had some success, but we recognize we have such a long way to go. But to have some of these recent former Stanley Cup champions and players that have had these amazing careers, it's good for them to attend the convention. And certainly we welcome Bickell back with open arms.
I don't remember the last convention that had all these people, Kane, Taze, Crawford, Keith, Chelios, Coach Q, all at once.
A-list, baby. A-list.
Yeah, and I know the convention sells out every year, but you can go to ChicagoBlackhawks.com/convention for a few last-minute passes that they release.
And we're going to give away a family four-pack right now, John. If you need tickets, let me know. I know a guy.
I would assume you know a few.
Yeah, and we can...
I know the one you really know.
We can. Well, that'd be you, wouldn't it? We can help set that up. All right, so before you go, listen, you're one of the most honest guys I know about the good and the bad and the stuff you're concerned about with the team. So going into this new season, optimistic, cautiously optimistic, where's your head?
No, I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic. We had some variables that we had to deal with, and there are no excuses because every team has injuries. Losing Corey Crawford in December, and then Marian Hossa not being able to play because of his skin condition, and some younger players that we needed to step up, and Alex DeBrincat, which he did. Nick Schmaltz, which he did, the forge forward. We've got some young players that are going to emerge, but I think it's going to be a good opportunity. I'm optimistic, and again, to reiterate, making the playoffs is the priority. That's our expectations. And put yourself, as we saw this year with Las Vegas, we could cite many other examples. Put yourself in a position to make that to make a deep run. But no, I'm very optimistic. That Stan Bowman has to be very judicious as to how he goes about sculpting this roster to make sure that we have the right pieces and the right players and the right stuff. Adding Brandon Manning and Cam Ward as a backup goalie and Chris Bennett's a four-time Stanley Cup champion. I think he's going to add a lot on the ice and off the ice.
I never want summer to end. But there's nothing quite as exciting as another Blackhawk season. We'll have every minute of it for you. Going to be a great convention. John, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Good to talk to you.
See you later. John McDonough. And the rest of the lineup this week, who's joining us the rest of the week, Semper?
Coach Q tomorrow. Chris Chelios on Friday at 9:10, plus Troy Murray is going to be co-hosting the show.
The big Blackhawk show that Dustin's hosting?
Yeah, we're still waiting on our Thursday guest, but it's going to be good.
Okay.
Awesome.
Good. There's no bad Blackhawk.
Yeah. Don't you always enjoy the first conversation with Coach Q every year? Because he's missed you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, he calls all the time.
Well, I mean
they got to have call waiting.
Yeah.
Come on. Well, it's like two teenage girls, the way you guys are so chatty.
Please. Dave, are you doing the Friday night thing this year?
Yes. Okay. I'll be there Friday. In fact, we'll carry the opening ceremony live at 5 o'clock on Friday during the RoCon with Anna DeVlantis show.
And happy birthday, Anna DeVlantis, today. Yeah,
happy birthday. So that'll be at 5 o'clock on Friday.
It is 8:52. We'll come back, and those convention passes, do we have a winner? I thought I threw that out already. 312-981-7200. Let's go caller 7. 312-981-7200 for the convention passes. Brought to you in part by Mathnasium. Making life swell through math.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Always good to see the old white people dancing to this at weddings. Come on, Helen, let's bring sexy back. Joe Romano's is back from a family wedding in Cleveland, so the text question of the day seemed to follow nicely, and that is awkward wedding stories. Before I get to that, congratulations to Patty and Crystal Lake. Patty just won those Blackhawks convention passes. 847 texter, didn't recognize my ex at the rehearsal for the wedding we both attended.
What?
Mm-hmm. 6-0, 30 years ago at the reception, beer bongs were passed around.
Classic.
6-3-0, my ex-boyfriend's wedding. I went over to say hi to his mom. She gave me a big hug and said, I always thought Dave would marry you. I don't know. Is she happy he didn't? Is she upset?
Yeah. Mom say the darndest things.
7-7-3, at my wedding, my brother opened up the best man speech by making my Chicago family feel welcome in Ohio by playing Bear Down Chicago Bears. Unfortunately, Dave, it was 1 month after the Cleveland Browns were stolen and taken to Baltimore. Two-on-nine at my stepdaughter's wedding, the best man began the toast by telling us how the couple met. Come to find out, they were cheating on each other with their significant others. There was a long moment of dead silence. Nobody said much after that. Awkward wedding story 269, my cousin's wedding a couple of years ago. My uncle got drunk, hit on all of my cousin's friends, trying to hook up with them.
Oh, that's not awkward.
My cousin was so embarrassed, didn't talk to my uncle for 2 years.
That's just what uncles do.
Is that the uncle move?
Yeah.
7-8, I went to a wedding where they had a wedding pie. Everybody hated it. What's wedding pie?
Instead of a cake?
Okay, my daughter's wedding, They had pie.
I like
they didn't
that.
Want a wedding cake.
I like that.
So they had pie.
I have no problem with that.
I love the different desserts.
It was just personal choice.
Well, the 708 texter said don't invite you to the next, don't invite her or him to the next one.
I bet Mary Vandeveld likes a traditional cake. When I said I wasn't going to have a cake at my wedding, she and Marlene Wells got very aggressive with me when I said there was.
I didn't.
Well, they should have.
Did, Mary. How can you not have cake? That's what you said. How can you not have cake?
773, a family attended our wedding, utilized our photographer's time to retake their son's senior portrait. Kind of missed the point there. And 847, a bride threw up on the wedding cake as they were about to cut it. Well, has anyone got pie?
Ooh. Probably a fruit in it.
Oh, hold on a second. The coach is on the phone. Good morning, coach. How are you?
Hello, Cochran.
It's the old ball coach. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Cochran?
Do you have an awkward wedding story?
No, I ain't never been married. I'd find the right dame.
I understand that. I don't know why. You sound like you'd be a lot of fun to live with.
Hey, I'm watching you on my Philco.
On your Philco. That's fantastic.
You lost weight.
Yeah, thanks.
You look good.
Thank
you. Know what, though? You still look like you got poured into your clothes and you forgot to say when.
All right. Well, that seems unfortunate. We're on CLTV now, of course, and 720 WGN. What are you calling about, Coach?
You got a show?
Oh, yeah. John DeCoste, me, Mike Toomey. We got a stand-up comedy show coming up August 24th at the St. Charles Zanies, 8 o'clock Friday night. One show, get your tickets.
So why would I want to pay to see you when I don't want to listen to you for free?
You know, it's a fair question. I don't have an answer for you.
There, yeah.
I really don't have an answer for you.
You know, the last thing I want to do, Cochran, is hurt you, but keep in mind my list only got two things on it.
Okay. All right. All right. Before we run out of time, you got one more?
Can I have tickets?
That seems right. Ah, boy. Am I going right to the news here?
Back with more shenanigans on the Steve Cochran Show.
Our country is respected again all over the world.
Brother, please.
I'm live from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN.
This is a band called More Shenanigans.
You guys were a cover band?
Yeah.
You're like Irish, only Irish songs?
A lot of that.
Shenanigans?
Yeah, a lot of that. No doubt about it.
Playing a Friday night, Dirty Nellies.
708, my sister-in-law took her brother's legs out with a rolling block at a wedding when he was about to catch the garter. She didn't approve of his girlfriend at the time, wanted to make sure there was no marriage in their future. She got her wish. The garter flew over his head while they were both still lying on the ground. You know, I think even if you don't catch the garter, there is a chance you could still end up getting married.
Yes. Yeah. Slight chance.
Let's see. 847. My now ex's family took apart all the flower arrangements and stole a case of wine with Cristal glasses and took it back to their hotel room.
Yeah, I feel like I've been guilty of that. Maybe not at the Cristal wine, but the last time I was at a wedding, and it was a beautiful wedding, and there was a terrible rainstorm. I remember the fact that I did get caught. Like, I was the person, we were all going back to the hotel, and there was booze, and there was a bottle of vodka that was being taken from the wedding reception to the hotel, and I had the mixer. Like, you know, I had like a bottle of Sprite. And I was walking out, and they got in the Uber, and they're like, okay, you get the next one. I'm like, cool. And then the groom walked up. He's like, hey, how's it going, man? Thanks for coming. What are you doing with that 3-liter of Sprite?
Right.
I'm like, oh, yeah.
The guys in front of me need it.
I thought this was mine. Oh, this is yours?
630, I haven't talked to my mom since my wedding, October 27th, 2012. She texted the entire ceremony. And my wife broke her foot during the first dance. But it sounds like they're still happy and together. He just doesn't talk to his mom
anymore. What do those two things have to do with each other?
Maybe she was
awkward, bad wedding.
Maybe she was live texting it, you know, updating people that aren't there.
She was updating
now. This is the type of thing that you would defend a guy who took a ball from a child. 630. An ex-boyfriend of the bride showed up and uninvited to the reception, wearing jeans and a baseball hat, started a fight with the bride and groom. They're now divorced.
Hmm.
Was that Adele song where she shows up and I want you to see how hurt I still am?
Hello?
No, it's not hello. It's something else.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Let's just sit here and think until it comes to us.
Could be Taylor Swift. Who knows?
Yeah. No, it's Adele. 224, reception dinner made half the party sick, including my father, who we accidentally left in the bathroom with now unusable pants. Was I in a band called Unusable Pants? Afterwards, my new wife's parents misunderstood a comment from my mother and left the wedding without talking to anybody. But guess what? We're still happy.
Hmm.
815, at my wedding, the priest caught on fire.
Wow.
Do you really need any more to the story?
Right.
The priest caught on fire as I was walking down the aisle. He backed up into a candle. The best man put him out.
That's what a best man does.
I hope he didn't use the holy water.
The priest left, removed his outer garment, returned with a char mark on his back, all while I was walking down the aisle. Most people in the church didn't even know it happened, but every picture of me walking down the aisle has my jaw wide open.
So, Dave, are you ordained?
No, I am not.
It's just Joe and I.
Joe, Steve, and aren't you,
no,
Justin?
I'm not. Oh, no.
So, Joe and Steve, you both have done a lot of weddings.
I've never caught
on
fire.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Have you? Do you have any incidents when you've officiated?
Not really, but I mean, in Minneapolis, I did a wedding for a friend of Amy's, my daughter's, and they had a Lutheran minister there and me. And, you know, there's lots of weddings where you have two people.
A Lutheran and a comedian.
She thought I was an actual card-carrying real minister as opposed to a universal church minister. And she paused back before we walked out and said, "Now, are you going to be wearing your robe and vestments?" I said, "Well, you're going to have to show me what those are because I don't think I have those." 847, at a cousin's wedding, I was talking to my sister for the first time in many years because of a fallout. She asked me if my daughter still talks to her dad. I looked a little confused and then said, "He died." She looked a little shocked. I guess I figured through social media or someone else may have told her.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. It's going to put a wrinkle in the reunion between the two sisters. 630, my daughter went the root beer float route during her wedding. Is that a bad thing, root beer floats?
Oh, not at all.
I would love that.
There's a lot of casual food at weddings now, and I feel like Ross and Lauren started it.
Yeah, the cupcakes.
And they were right, and I was wrong, as I've said many times.
Well, it's just, I mean, it's so darn expensive to do a wedding.
And you always have to eat again. You know, at midnight, they bring
you
out
don't
the pizza.
Have
or
to.
Well, I usually don't.
You and I are old enough to remember weddings where you would eat once and go home.
But I like that trend. I like the little casual food that comes out around 12 o'clock.
If you have a lot of kids who are on the younger side, I don't mean children, I mean young adults of legal age, and they've been drinking for several hours, you kind of want to get some kind of food in them. Late me.
I don't disagree, but it's a spoiled Americans thing.
It is.
It's always been the case.
How did you say that?
We didn't used to have
because you never had. This is like the goody bad thing at birthday parties.
Have you been to an Italian wedding?
Never.
That's all they do. They just eat.
The midnight refeed was never a thing.
You're right.
That's what Taco Bell's for.
That's still 1/6 of the food that they put out at European weddings. That's what I'm saying. So it's not real. I'm just saying
there's a chance you should, if you have younger people that are drinking, you could probably skip the first meal. Because they're probably not eating a lot of the formal food.
Right.
They're holding out.
Here's
for
the secret to a successful wedding.
Sliders.
Successful wedding. Feed the old people first.
Right.
Because they're going to be sitting around going,
"Oh yeah,
the hell, where's dinner?"
You could have two seatings.
Yes.
The older, the let's say 50 and older, they eat first at the wedding.
Oh, you mean the really old people, the
and
50
then
and older?
The 20 to 40 group can eat the late night food.
Yeah, there you go.
You need less table settings if you doubled that. You did
That's
that.
A good point.
630, at our wedding, my ex jumped into the pool in his suit. Towards the end of the evening, it shrunk up on him.
Oh, as it dried? That's funny. Hope he didn't have to return that.
What a cry for attention. Jump in the pool as an ex.
Text coming.
Maybe he was hot.
Keep those texts coming. 312-981-7200. John, we come back. We're going to play for prizes a new trivia game. What do you call this? Is this John's trivia game?
John's trivia game.
It's very exciting. Do we need a caller or two callers? How many callers do we need?
We need one caller.
One caller. Joe, what number would you like to go with? Joe Romano, just back from a wedding in Cleveland?
99.
All right, so caller 7-312-981-7200. You'll be able to play John's trivia game for prizes next on 720 WGN and CLTV.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
My mother-in-law fell off the wagon at our wedding. ditched her sponsor, took an Uber to a nearby casino, lost her cash, a wallet, and her ID.
Oh, my gosh.
Couldn't take a flight home the next day. There was a fire at the reception, and we never went back to get our cake for fear of repercussions. Just celebrated our 40th anniversary.
Wow.
Holy cow.
That's a good story. That's jumping off the wagon. That's head first.
That's a good story. Well, speaking of anniversaries, happy anniversary, Dave. 22 years at WGN this time. He was here earlier. He left. Took a bunch of cash to go to BBM. Realized a horrific mistake he made and came back.
I came back.
Yeah.
I
happy came anniversary.
Back. Thank you. Congratulations, thank you, man. That's awesome.
22 years today.
How many of those years have you been the voice of the Wildcats?
All of those 22 years, yes.
That's impressive.
Yeah. He's very busy. John DeCosta here. We're going to play John's Trivia now. We've never played this game before, so I'm going to introduce you to Marv, our contestant. And anybody on the show can be Marv's lifeline.
So, okay. Marv, if you need help, just ask for it. You got
all
it?
All right, let's go to Marv now.
I got it.
All right, Marv, what are you doing today?
I'm retired. I'm fixing my washing machine.
All right. Well, what's wrong with it? You got a gasket situation going on there? I was in a band called Gasket Situation.
You were in a lot of bands, Steve.
Yeah, I really was. All right. How do we play, John?
Wait. Don't you have a tip for washing machine? You fixed your washing machine, didn't you?
There's a weird tip that's out there, which is resetting or rebooting your washing machine. Was it washing machine or dryer? I think it was washing machine.
It was washing machine.
You open and close. That's so ridiculous. You can find this online. I'm not making it up. Open and close the lid. I think it was 13 times.
Yeah.
And when you open and close the lid, fully open and close it 13 times, it resets an LG washing machine.
Wow.
You're welcome. All right, John, how do you play?
Marv, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you six questions, okay?
Six questions.
And here's what you need to know. You're playing for, just like Trivial Pursuit, you're playing for a piece of pie, but actually you're going to get a whole Lou Malnati's pizza. You got that?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Every question he gets right, I'm going to give him something.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. And then afterwards, when the meeting happens, where Sarah's swearing at Sandberg, I won't be there.
It's a Price is Right kind of thing.
All right, here we go.
And here's the thing, Marv. This is Trivial Pursuit Junior, so these are questions that would go to anybody, any kid in 5th to 8th grade.
So allegedly easier.
Easier, yes.
All right, Marv, no pressure.
Okay, you ready, Marv?
Ready.
Okay, which way does Abraham Lincoln, his portrait face on the penny, left or right?
Right.
That is correct.
I've pointed to the left. I'm already 0-1.
What's the first prize, Steve?
First prize is an app gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. See their store in Glenview or online at abtapp.com. Next.
How about that? What city does Batman call home?
Gotham City.
That is correct.
It's very good, Marv. When you're not fixing washing machines, you're obviously absorbing a lot of useless information. Is that right, Marv?
That's correct.
You got a Lou Malnati's Pizza, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. 40 locations. Order it online at loumalnati's.com. Trivia's never been hotter. Bar nights for trivia.
Yeah.
Clubs have trivia.
HQ trivia.
HQ trivia.
HQ trivia, yeah.
And now John's Trivia Game, or as we like to call it, JTG.
John's, we should give this a name, John's Super Easy Trivia Game.
Super easy. Okay.
All right, number three.
What other mineral besides phosphorus is needed for strong bones?
Calcium.
That is correct.
Wow, good job, Marv.
I know.
Yeah, I was going to say chiclets. You have a family pack of general admissions to Sycamore Speedway. Get your motor running for the 2018 race season. SycamoreSpeedway.com. You're halfway home to the fabulous collection of six prizes. We're talking about tens of dollars in prizes. John.
Marv, what comic strip dog has a brother named Spike?
Ooh, this could be the one. And if you miss this one, Marv, all the other prizes get taken away.
Dave Bennett has known every single one. I've been watching him mouth the answer. So
what
might
comic strip dog
has a brother named Spike?
Has a brother named Spike.
Boy.
Okay, let me think about this. Right away.
I'm
going to
say Marmaduke.
There you go. That's the only one I would think of.
Okay, that is wrong. Okay,
that's incorrect.
That is correct.
Well, he said, I was going to say Marmaduke.
Oh, yeah.
So that means he gets another answer.
Yeah, he's just talking out loud. He's showing his math.
Comic strip dog.
Comic strip dog has a brother named Spike.
Snoopy.
Yes.
Is that right?
That is correct.
Congratulations, Marv, on playing on your behalf.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Marv, you've now won a gift certificate to Golf Center, a display in Chicagoland's premier year-round golf practice facility, newly renovated landing turf and hitting bays. The area's only fully lighted nine-hole course, golfcenterdisplains.com. Marv, I'm no expert here, but I'm adding this up. Your first four prizes are worth $100,000.
That's so true.
Yeah, right? Question number five.
Here we go. On average, Marv, how many people are bitten each year by dragonflies?
Do you get a high-low? I mean, that's a crazy question.
On average.
Well, on average, yeah, it could be a billion, could be four.
I'm going to ask for some help from the staff.
All right, David.
I'm going to say zero.
Oh, hey!
That was it.
That's what I was going to say.
There you go.
That's perfect. Marv, that is perfect.
Marv made me too smart for this show. You got a two-hour adult venture package for two at Northwest Indiana Deep River Aerial Park. Climb through the treetop obstacles. Sounds like something you might want to do, Marv. Soar through zip lines. Fun for everybody 8 to 88. Book online at edgeadventureparks.com. Sixth and final question.
Last one.
Here you go. What is a male bee called?
Bob. No? Is that correct?
What do we call a male bee?
A male bee, I would say drone.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. That is it.
Marv is really good.
I think he was fed these answers.
I don't know. I think Marv's really good. Joe, were you cheating and giving Marv the answers off air?
There isn't a game that I haven't cheated on, so.
Okay.
So we're going to
admit or deny. Marv paid attention in third grade, so that's good.
Wow.
He did
it. Pretty impressive. Marv, what did you retire from?
I was a computer consultant, then in my later years, I sold RVs in Bartlett.
Yeah. Did we have an RV question as a bonus question?
No, I don't have an RV.
I have a pair of pavilion seats to see the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark with the CSO, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, live at Ravinia.
That's cool.
Excellent.
Thursday, August 2nd, includes a couple of drink tickets at the new Lawn Bar, but you knew that. You're Marv. And Dean Richards will lead a discussion before the concert, and you don't even have to pay attention to him. Get your tickets at Ravinia.org. Marv, thanks for playing.
Thank you very much.
Right, hold on. Marv sounds super excited.
Marv probably already knew this, but Snoopy had seven siblings. There was Spike, Andy, Marbles, Olaf, and Belle is the only sister.
Olaf?
Olaf.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So. It's not a great name for a dog.
No.
Olaf!
The Norwegian brother.
Yeah.
Norwegian. Well,
9:31, we continue live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Still time for you to get your text answers in to the text question. Awkward wedding stories. We'll come back with the headlines next, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a five, I forgot me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
9:42 now, and Big O is still with us. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Hope you are, too. I'm listening to a lot of airplanes flying over Huntley heading for Oshkosh. Happens every year at this time. And we just hear a constant stream of airplanes flying to Oshkosh for the big show.
Is there a time when it's best to go, to your knowledge, or is it just whenever?
Well, you go for the 4 days the show is on, but a lot of them come in early, I think, to make sure they don't miss anything. And it is a tremendous show. It really is. So.
And how's the Air Orion crew? Everybody doing
Air
well?
Orion crew is fine, and I think the Air Orion crew, without me, is flying up there, I think, Thursday. So they'll bring back all of the sales brochures and everything else that could cost me $5 billion if I took them all.
Yes, and are you shopping for a new plane?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No. I may be shopping for a buyer of an airplane because it's probably about time, but not for the moment.
Well, I don't rush into that.
No.
Air Orion and Orion are inseparable.
I hope so.
Is Gloria cursing at me in the background now that I told you not to rush into it?
No, Gloria is recovered from her foot surgery beautifully, and she's doing the Charleston or something out in the kitchen.
Orion, were you as good of a nurse to Gloria as she was to you?
I don't think so, because when she walked out of the surgery, she was walking better than I've walked for the last 6 months. So I'm afraid I was not as good a nurse as she was for me, and still is for me. So,
you know, we were talking about weddings all morning. Joe just got back from a wedding in Cleveland and awkward moments at a wedding. You got any awkward wedding stories you want to share with the class?
No, not really. I don't recall any.
All the weddings you went to were great, as far as I know?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, good story. the average wedding, though, costs $35,000. Now, the cheapest is Arkansas, where you can get a wedding for $19,500. The most expensive is Manhattan. It's $78,000. These are average costs, by the way. And the accoutrement, the extras that go into it, are a really big part of it. And the theme weddings and unexpected locations as well. Survey found only a quarter of couples were married in a traditional religious institution. The rest opted for farms, barns, ranches, gardens, beaches, museums, wineries, and historic buildings. How about that?
It's interesting how many barns have now been turned into settings for
wedding
well
weddings.
Other functions, but weddings as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about the money today. What do the markets look like?
Markets today doing pretty good, off to a pretty good start. We have the group of stocks that we call the FANG group, and that's for the initials of each one. FANG group is the alphabet Google, and it's also Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Netflix.
Okay.
And they're all included, and they're really pushing a revival. Well, I don't know if you call it a revival, but a higher market today on Wall Street.
I didn't know it's called the FANG group. Facebook, Apple, Netflix, and Google. FANG.
Yeah. FANG.
All right,
the FANG group. So that's the technology. Now, did you want me to talk about corn porn?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did. But Joe, you got some music set aside for detasseling corn. If not, grab it. But first, a question from Justin.
Yeah, I just have a question. Today, the president came out and said tariffs are the greatest, and talked a lot about the tariffs and the trade wars that are happening right now. But as well, I thought about you, Orion, because I think it was on Friday or Saturday, the president tweeted out about farming in general, saying farmers will win. A big reason that the price of soybeans has fallen is because of bad, terrible trade deals with other countries. Mentioned Canada's dairy percentages. So where are we with that? Because obviously tariffs are maybe great for someone who wants to negotiate better deals with other countries, but how does it play out to farmers and to people who are on the ground?
Well, it plays out to farmers by probably causing them a loss of some markets. But, you know, this talk has been going on now for 7 or 8 months, and a little bit has happened, but I keep waiting to see when all of it will really hit. Of course, in this country, the big product that would be hit with the China disagreement would be soybeans, because they buy a lot of our soybeans. Pork to Mexico, too, if we don't get NAFTA finished. And the Mexican spokesman says we're going to get it done within the next 2 months, but I'll believe that when I see it. And then, yeah, Canada, the dairy situation that has dairy farmers in this country losing money because of the dairy policy and trade of Canada. So it has an impact, no doubt of that, but a lot of it is mental, you know. Oh, this is going to happen. Is it going to happen? And whenever you get traders on edge, you tend to get a down market.
If China imports 1.2 million tons of soybeans, they can't cancel that order, can they? I mean, I don't mean they can or they can. I mean, where else are they going to get it?
Well, that's the question. They're going to get, first of all, they'll go to different oil seeds. They'll go to what's called rapeseed. They'll go to canola seed and that type of thing. But we've got South America that will now outproduce the United States in soybean production, Brazil particularly. But the largest soybean meal exporter in the world, which is what China wants for its livestock growing population, is the number one soybean meal exporter in the world is Argentina. So there are other places to go, but if they go there and they sell, then what about their customers that, you know, they still have contracts with that they have to fulfill? There's a matter of fact, there is a feeling that Brazil, before all of this is over, will have to import soybeans from the United States to fulfill existing trade
contracts. Wow, how about that?
Yeah, that would be quite a story.
All right, so each year at this time, we ask Orion to tell us how do you detassel corn? Joe, do you have the music ready? Because it's time for a little something I like to call corn porn.
That sounds like bugs flying around the corn plant.
Of course it does. All right, listen up, kids, and learn.
Okay, and I'm not going to talk as much about detasseling, but the detasseling happens because of this procedure. I do not have a degree in agronomy, but basically when corn is a bisexual plant, and when it reaches head high or shoulder high, at the top of the plant, it begins to put out what we call a tassel. And that's what kids years ago made a lot of money every summer detasseling because they were trying to keep crossbreeding from happening in the cornfield. Really? But anyway, the tassel on the top has the pollen. And about the same time, halfway down the stalk, the plant starts forming an ear. But it's basically silk. You see the silk of corn when you take the husk off and get it ready for eating. And so you have silk halfway down the plant. You have tassel with pollen on top of the plant. And then you wait for the wind to just kind of blow, and it blows the pollen off the tassel, and it falls onto the silk. And each silk that catches a tassel forms a kernel. This is the fascinating thing to me. And then the cob forms with the rows of kernels. And the interesting thing to me is the number of rows of kernels on a cob of corn, always an even number.
How about that?
An uneven number.
That's right. So when a tassel and a silk love each other very much.
Yeah, that's right. They do. And July is always the time that farmers are concerned about that, because if you get very hot weather during what we call pollination time,
it
can affect the yield of the corn crops.
Friday night is pollination time.
Does anybody have a cigarette?
Orion, why don't they want cross-pollination?
Well, because they are trying to breed single strains, or what, you know, in the genetically modified organism deal that we have going for years now, they want to come up with one strain of this particular corn, and so they don't want the tassel from a row of corn next to it to come over and pollinate the row of corn with that pollen. And it gets into plant breeding. As a matter of fact, Mirai, the sweet corn of WGN, and I have to talk to Gary back pretty soon, because I think we'll soon be coming to market, if not this week, very shortly.
Good.
But he had to do 800 crossbreeds in order to develop Mirai sweet corn.
How about that? How about that? You think corn just happens? No.
No.
No, it takes a lot of work, a bottle of wine, and a Luther Vandross song. That's what I'm talking about. Big old thanks for corn porn. I think we've all learned something here.
Well, I hope so. I'm still trying to learn, but I'm working at it.
And it makes it very awkward for Ori at church on Sunday when all the other parishioners go up and tell him really enjoyed corn porn.
They do mention it.
That's exactly right. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
Back with Bill and Wendy shortly, 720 WGN.
Oh, yeah.
Bill and Wendy, in just a moment, want to remind you again, August 24th, 8 p.m., St. Charles Zanies, John DeCoste, me, Mike Toomey, and Bill Leff returning to stand-up. He doesn't know yet. That'll be August 24th at 8 o'clock at the St. Charles Zanies. Go to zanies.com for tickets. Back in a moment. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Pete. Thanks to you guys for listening. And a couple last-minute texts here. Awkward wedding stories? Awkward weddings you've been to?
My own.
At 847, at my wedding, my aunt was dancing with my new father-in-law and said, "See, Jews don't have horns."
Oh, wow. No.
What?
A10, a very elderly lady helped herself to the wedding cake about an hour before the bride could do it.
That's hilarious.
A47, my veil caught on fire from a candle in church. That was 50 years ago. Oh, that's you know what? This just occurred to me. You think I'd remember this? I was best man for a buddy of mine's wedding in Baltimore, and they had tiki torches. And it was a little windy. It was outside. The veil blew up, hit the tiki torch. Ooh. I threw her to the ground, had to roll her in the dirt to make sure that she was. By the way, they didn't last.
Yeah.
563, my reception. My mother fell off the stage in front of my mother-in-law before we got there. Okay, it's a little awkward.
Yeah.
And 630, at our wedding, my brother-in-law was using the changing room as his own personal brothel. Bridesmaids' boobs fell out of the dress at the table. And to top it off, there was a fire in the reception hall after we had left. We never went back to get the cake. Married 40 years.
Ah, there you go.
See?
I was at a wedding once where the bride was so drunk out of her mind and unsure if she was doing the right thing, and it was Wendy.
Is that right? That's,
I don't find that funny.
Do you find it factual?
Yes, I came out of the limo with a smoke in one hand, a Miller Lite bottle, and a bottle of Korbel.
Gary Busey told her to calm down.
Yeah. Was that show I saw you on, Say Yes to the Booze? Say it tomorrow.